Welcome to the Benwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at benwellpres.org. The following Christmas Eve sermon, In Glorious Christmas, was given by Pastor Ray Medina on Sunday, December 24th, 2023. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey, and Merry Christmas.
Will you pray with me as we hear the Christmas message again and as we think about how God wants us to respond today? Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks. Thank you for your great love for us, given in Christ's sacrifice, but also in his birth and the way he came to dwell among us. And we pray that you would help us to hear your word and your story and to live into it today. And that your Holy Spirit, oh God, would give us eyes to see and ears to hear all that you would have us to see and hear this Christmas in our lives. We pray in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Well, welcome again to you. Welcome online. The title of my very message today is An Inglorious Christmas. And you may not know that word, inglorious, unless you're a Tarantino fan, but I got attached to it as I was preparing for this message when reflecting on the Christmas story, even though Christmas, I know, is full of glory, as we've seen already, and the songs that we sing, glory to God in the highest heaven, it's full of glory, but there's these inglorious contours that are sometimes overlooked, and by inglorious, I mean dishonorable, discreditable, unheroic, undignified, scandalous, and shocking. And I think that's hopefully to say Inglorious Christmas sounds all backwards and upside down. Because all of us want to live gloriously. Like I remember being gifted a Nerf basketball hoop one year, you know, the little foam ball. And had, I don't know if you had one of these, maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about. A little foam ball and suction cups on the back, and you could attach it to like your window or a mirror, and my bedroom became a pro basketball court. And my three-pointers from behind my bed or from the corner of my desk or from inside the closet became a highlight reel on SportsCenter. And I was both like the announcer and the player, because as I shot said Nerf ball, I would say, Medina for three. And as it swooshed through the hoop, I would make that sound in the back of your throat that emulates the crowd, you know. I was glorious. I was glorious. And all of us want glory. That's my assumption today. We all want to a little piece of the glory, like if you want to be recognized or legitimized or successful at work or school, you want glory. And if you want to be, I don't know, an influencer on Instagram, you want glory. Or if you want to be at the best at your game or sport or craft, you want glory. In the words of the famous luchador Nacho Libre, don't you want a little taste of the glory? See what it tastes like? Yeah, we all want glory, but we live in an inglorious world. The question is how to get it. And I know we live in an inglorious world because the other day I was making my lunch and I decided to turn the news on and hear the news cycle again. And it just sounds like that people in our world are hoarding glory. In other words, that we disrepute or humiliate or disregard others in order to get glory for us or for our own people. And maybe the Christmas story has another way to look at what glory is really all about if we really indeed all want a piece of it. Like, you enter into the Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke. You may know it. It begins in Luke 2, and Luke decides to start the Christmas story this way as he pens it. He says, in the days of Caesar Augustus. Do you all like history? Some of you do not. Okay, so I'll keep my history lesson very short. But Caesar Augustus, I mean, that guy had a lot of glory. Augustus wasn't even his name, it was his title given to him by the Roman Senate, and it means exalted one. And Caesar Augustus had used his influence and military power to suppress any threat to Rome's power. So that in Rome, if you were part of the Roman elite, man, you experienced stability. In fact, they called his reign Pax Augustus, the peace of Augustus, and his policies Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. So much so, he was so celebrated in Rome that, get this, people would say of Caesar Augustus that he is, quote, and we know this from Roman inscription, he is the savior of the whole world. And on his birthday, some would say on this day, this marks the beginning of good news. But of course, Pax Augustus, the peace of Augustus or the peace of Rome, wasn't good news for everyone. It wasn't good news for people in conquered territories like Galilee and Judea. And it wasn't good news if you were a peasant family who had, while you were expecting to bear a child, travel to Bethlehem in order to be registered for big government data. Then it wasn't really peace or good news. It wasn't glory for you. So Jesus was born in an inglorious time for God's people. Inglorious because they were subject to Roman rule. And it wasn't peace for them, wasn't peace for everybody, wasn't peace for their taxes. And Jesus was born through inglorious means. Like there was no room, you remember, for them in the inn. This pregnant couple was disregarded, probably because of their status. We know they were peasants because of the sacrifice that was offered later in Luke chapter 3. It was the only sacrifice they could afford. So they were disregarded. There was no room. They had to have a child and place him in an animal's trough, right? This child who is heralded, this glorious child in an animal's trough. There's the scandal of Christmas, inglorious means, and to inglorious people. Not only were Mary and Joseph peasants, but then when Luke switches the scene and moves into the fields on the margins of town, they're shepherds. And we know shepherds perhaps more delightfully than the people back then did, because shepherds worked in the fields and they probably smelled like it. I mean, they were disreputable, disregarded. No one wanted that job. And yet to these inglorious hillbillies, the angelic announcement is made, right? And listen to the announcement of the angels, especially with Caesar Augustus' titles in the backdrop now. They say, to you, this day, a Savior has been born, who is Christ, Hebrew Messiah. That means the anointed one, the Lord, the true King, has come into the world. And the announcement is to inglorious people. So Jesus is born to inglorious people through inglorious means at an inglorious time for God's people as a whole. And I want us this Christmas to understand or feel or experience that contrast between the glory of Caesar, whose glory isn't for everyone, only for his people, and the glory of the newborn King who is proclaimed as Jesus, the Savior of the world, the beginning of good news. We are presented every Christmas with a rival king. Certainly a rival king to Caesar, but also a rival king to ourselves, right? Because these days we rule our world and we're the only ones who can secure peace and glory for ourselves. But we're presented with a God who loves for us to discover and share glory, like the shepherds. I love this line in the text that says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Like, even though they were inglorious, they participate in glory. And even though Mary and Joseph are in a manger, that animal's trough becomes one of the most celebrated scenes in human history. And a place of hospitality and refuge for anyone who shows up, including shepherds. And so we're invited to participate in glory, to offer our believing allegiance to the true King who is Jesus. And I think Mary and Joseph show us a couple of ways to do that, right? To lean into what real glory is all about. Like the Shepherds, what do? Immediately after they experience the nativity scene, they share the good news. They're so excited. They're not pushy or angry. They're excited about this thing they discovered, this child and the words spoken to them, so much so that they evoke curiosity to all who are willing to hear, right? All who heard it, the text says, marveled at what the shepherds said. So these discreditable, inglorious shepherds become the first evangelists. What would it look like for you to evoke curiosity when you speak of your allegiance to King Jesus? That's one response. The other response is Mary. She becomes the first contemplative. She ponders all the things the shepherds tell her in her heart. So even though Bethlehem had no room for her, she makes room for awe and gratitude. And that's the second response. What would it look like for you in the middle of the holiday hustle to create space for stillness and for prayer and for awe and gratitude, just to know that God is God? Because if the King of Glory, bursting at the seams for those willing to notice, like maybe an angelic choir wants to sing over your inglorious homework or your inglorious work shift or your inglorious living room mess or your inglorious season of life. And what would it look like for us today and always to offer up glory to the newborn King with our lives, to give our believing allegiance to Jesus? Because if we participate in the glory of the true King, it's much bigger than any sound from the back of your throat that you might make imagining your own fame or glory. Like when we participate in glory, not only do we share in God's glory, giving glory to Him, but also the glory that shines around us as we do so, but we sing and celebrate who Jesus is in a song that goes on for eternity and upward to the highest heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Lord and God, we give you thanks today for the gift of Christmas and for the reminder that the glory of the Lord shone around them, that we're all participants, no matter how inglorious we find our situation, in the glory of King Jesus who shares it with us. And so we pray that today we would be participants in worship and celebration and love and joy and peace and find the peace that's for everyone. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,